Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Well, today on Farm to Table Talk, I'm speaking with Michael Jacobson, who's the head of Center for Science and the Public Interest. And Mike, it's great to have you with me. You are involved in so many big issues that affect the food industry, and I think it would be safe to say some find you controversial at times. But you've never been bashful about weighing in on what you thought were the biggest issues related to food and beverages. And I think one of the tributes to you, Mike, is that I've occasionally heard you criticized from every side of an issue before, so you clearly aren't taking your positions by putting your finger in the air and seeing where the wind's blowing. But I'm curious, right now, what are the things that weigh on your mind? What are the issues that, from your position at Center for Science and the Public Interest, what are you paying attention to?
Well, thank you very much, Roger, for having me on. This is a very interesting time in the food world. I think we're seeing some progress. Some things have happened, and we're almost done with an issue. Trans fat is almost out of the food supply, 90% gone. And I give a lot of credit to activists, journalists, scientists in particular for doing the research that showed that trans fat is harmful, but also to the food industry that heard that criticism. Food manufacturers went back to their suppliers and said, give us healthier oils. And the oil suppliers went back to the seed developers and said, produce better seeds. And the seed developers went back to the farmers and said, hey, we'll pay you more money if you grow these seeds. And then that gradually, the farmers planted the seeds, the crops were developed, the oil processors developed, had the oils, sent them to the food manufacturers, and we have healthier foods. And I think that's going to save tens of thousands of lives a year.
Let me interrupt you on that, because that's a really interesting way of looking at it, that there's a stage that you've been able to see it. I would imagine at the very beginning, people were very defensive and were maybe in denial, didn't want to admit to what the science was saying, and then you see other stages, that the eyes are opened and it starts making sense and they start changing taking place, and then they're convinced that, well, it was a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't have kicked and screamed in the beginning.
Trans fat is a great example for that. In the 1980s, almost everybody thought it was safe. There were little shreds of evidence that it promoted heart disease, but those studies were never corroborated. And then in 1990, the first study showed that it raised the bad cholesterol and lowered the good cholesterol in humans. And that was corroborated. Then the epidemiologists went to work to make some estimates of the magnitude. So in the early 90s, we petitioned the Food and Drug Administration to put trans fat on the label. There wasn't enough evidence yet to say it should be banned. But that developed over the next 10 years. When Denmark banned partially hydrogenated oil or trans fat in the early 2000s, that signaled that the evidence had really built up. We looked at it, brought together the epidemiology and the clinical studies, and petitioned the FDA to ban trans fat. So that was 2004. And then industry began removing trans fat. The FDA required it on food labels. In 2006, we and others sued companies for not disclosing the presence of trans fat. And now the food industry has replaced probably more than 7 billion pounds of trans fat per year, 7 billion out of 8 billion pounds. So a huge change.
That's so exciting. So that's one example where you guys were involved with helping, cut the hay and got it in the barn. I'm curious of what are some of the other things that maybe are kind of just started that process, that the issue's been identified, you're not completed, you haven't reached the goal, but you have a goal in mind.
Well, there are two things that are in process, and they're kind of, I would say, they're not totally new, they're mid-level. One is sugar. Sugar contributes to tooth decay and diabetes, weight gain, obesity, and heart disease. And at this point, the evidence is quite solid. It's enshrined in the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. And governments around the world are trying to reduce sugar intake. The Food and Drug Administration, I believe, by the time you hear this podcast, will have required added sugars to be listed on food labels. And I think that's going to accelerate the moves in the food industry to reduce the amounts of sugar in their products, come up with naturally sweetened products with stevia, have artificially sweetened products.
And you have no problem with those products like stevia, which is a natural product?
Stevia seems okay. Aspartame, saccharin, sucralose, they may cause cancer in animals and probably humans. So I have concerns, but diet soda, I think, is safer than regular soda. Best to have water or flavored water. But we started on that in 1998, publishing Liquid Candy, a report. And since then, there's been a lot of activism, and it's percolated up through city health departments and especially the Centers for Disease Control. And all that attention has led to reductions in soda consumption. Soda is the biggest source of sugar. Soda consumption, which includes energy drinks, has declined by 27% since 1998. It's an astonishing change. This is America's national drink, mm-hmm. and we're drinking one-fourth less. So that's one thing, and I think that momentum is going to accelerate. Another one that I think we're in midstream is salt. Salt is the single most harmful thing in the food supply. It's causing tens of thousands of deaths a year, as many as 100,000 premature deaths due to hypertension, stroke, and heart attacks. We've called on the FDA to limit sodium in packaged foods and restaurant foods, and the FDA said it won't do that, but that it will have voluntary targets for food manufacturers to meet. And the FDA is probably going to do this in early June. And that will, I think, accelerate the progress that's been made. And the progress has been very quiet. There isn't much grassroots ferment on salt. But big companies have been trying to reduce sodium. And judging from Walmart's data, there's been about a 16% reduction in sodium in packaged foods. And when you think about that, the goal is to get about a 50% reduction. So maybe we're a third of the way there. Restaurants not doing as well. But that's one of the other, you know, it's such an important issue for saving lives. And so that we talked about fat, sugar, and salt. One of the toughest things is on the other side of the equation, how do you get people to eat more fruits and vegetables? Fruit and vegetable consumption has been flat for 20 years, notwithstanding all the farmers markets, Michael Pollan's books, propaganda from the produce industry, and it's really it's discouraging how little progress that's been made, especially considering that fruits and vegetables, they taste great. There's such a variety of them. They're so interesting. We heard here at this conference, Partnership for Healthier America, from the fruit and vegetable, the FNV campaign. FNV stands for fruits and vegetables. And hopefully the produce industry is going to put some real big money behind that to make it a national program, and maybe that can move the needle.
It looks like an exciting program, but I kind of wonder, it seems, whether it's either redundant or something's been tried before and not reached a scale that they're hoping for. I mean, you remember back when they started five a day, which later became like 11 a day and more matters, and the numbers kind of keep changing. But it's, what, maybe 20 years old or more of attempts to get something going. I mean, what might give you hope that this particular campaign would achieve the level of success that's been hard to get so far?
Well, two things. One, this campaign is being run by marketers, not by nutritionists, National Cancer Institute. This is being run by people who know how to sell products. And the second thing is the dose. The five-a-day campaign never really had much money behind it. There were maybe some signs in grocery stores, and you know, if you tune into the right website, you might see something, but very little attention. The FNV program has signed up dozens of celebrities, athletes, movie stars, singers. It's aimed at teenagers and people in their 20s, so it's a narrower target. It's looking at the future. And I'm hopeful that it will have some impact. We haven't seen any numbers from their pilot projects.
Well, I agree with you. It sure looks exciting so far that they've got a lot of major companies that are signing in. And, of course, Michelle Obama has been a very outspoken leader. And there's the talk that she's not going to quit just because she's moving out of her current house, that she'll be involved somehow in the campaign going forward.
Yeah, so I think, you know, on the one hand, the challenge is eat less of the bad stuff, and we're making some progress, at least on sugar, bad fats, and salt, and we need to make more progress on the good stuff.
Well, one other thing I wanted to ask you real quickly, and that is there's technology is just moving so fast, and people just are generally fearful. I mean, I'll mention GMO, but we don't have to go into a big discussion on GMO. That's been an issue of concern for some people for some time. But there's lots of technologies that are coming, and all of them are somewhat difficult for the average consumer to understand. I mean, how do we overcome, I think, the feeling of mistrust of embracing a proper role for technologies to solve some of these problems as far as the food system's concerned?
Well, I think the food industry really has to be out front. Professors don't have that kind of credibility or microphone. The food industry should be very vocal in defending new practices in processing or manufacturing, crop production, to make sure they're safe, and then stand behind their safety. I think the food industry is beginning to run away from genetic engineering, GMOs, because so many people have been criticizing genetically engineered foods. The Department of Agriculture has been pretty quiet. It could be more vocal. Food and Drug Administration can be vocal. But they are not seen as salespeople. You know, they're not supposed to be salespeople for particular technologies or products. So it's going to be a challenge as these new technologies.
Well, I'll wrap up on that, but just one more quick thing. The USDA is going to be hiring new people before long because there's going to be a new administration coming to town. So this time a year from now, there will be other people in the chairs. Will you be wading in? Will Center for Science and the Public Interest make recommendations on the kind of people that should fill these key positions at USDA and EPA?
Yeah, we'll certainly make our voices heard for some of the positions. You know, there's thousands of positions, but for key positions, we will. Typically, they go to campaign contributors and that sort of person. But I think we have very good people in government now. If we can get people as good, you know, that should be enough.
If people want to know more about your positions and your organization and some of these issues that we've touched on, Mike, where do they go? Where do they go to look for information from Center for Science and the Public Interest?
Well, the easiest thing is to go to the web, CSPI.net. And we publish the Nutrition Action Health Letter, the largest circulation health newsletter in the country. So subscribe to that and keep up with what we're doing.
Well, Michael Jacobson, thanks so much. Mike's with the Center for Science and the Public Interest, and we really appreciate your being on Farm to Table Talk.
Thanks very much, Roger.
Thanks for joining the Farm to Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.